The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 21st, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and back in the studio today is Christian Griffin. I don't know if you're feeling better, but you're at least here, so that means something.
We're present Tuesday. Sir, I didn't get to tell you Monday.
I held it down and told the folks Monday yesterday.
Yes, yeah. So Tuesday. I don't know, man. This Auburn football itis is just getting to me and makes me sick week after week. And this time, it carried over into the work.
That's what you get when you go to the stadium on Saturdays, man. You just caught whatever it is that Auburn has going on through the football program. But no, glad to have you back, man. And we got a lot to get to.
You just need to stand in the end zone. They won't catch anything.
True. You can't catch it there, right? We'll talk more Auburn, Missouri today. I have more thoughts from yesterday, more stats that I didn't get to yesterday, and of course Christian has a bunch of thoughts and things from what happened in Jordan-Hare on Saturday. Plus, can the offensive issues be fixed? The guy who's in charge, the guy whose side of the football he's responsible for, is the worst side of the football right now for Auburn. And so, can it be fixed? Can Auburn figure it out? Or are they just snake bit offensively? We'll talk about that today. Plus, we'll get to what else has been going on around the country, because the SEC is loaded. The Big 12 may be legit. The ACC is terrible. And coaches are being fired all over the place. So lots to get to with that. And then we're diving deep into Arkansas today, as our buddy Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas is going to join us in hour number two. So a busy show here on ESPN today. And until we get to Ty in hour number two, phone lines are open. If you didn't get in yesterday and want to today, come on in and be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. That call-in number, again, is 334-321-1390. If you did get in yesterday and you want to double down or have a change of heart or, I don't know, whatever's on your mind, you can be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. Several text messages to get through from late yesterday, even some today already in the text box at 334-784-1067. You can always get your thoughts in there. And Christian, since you didn't have the joy of being with us yesterday, I know you were able to tune in and out when feeling a little under the weather at home, but I guess I just tossed this to you. I don't
know. It's okay.
You sure you just want to sit and listen and hang out for the day? We had a lot of good callers yesterday, a lot of good textures yesterday, and I was telling somebody off the air, or maybe I even said it on air, I can't remember. The attitude and the emotions were better yesterday than I thought they were going to be. There's a better outlook on this with most fans, at least the ones I heard from yesterday, in terms of I didn't get as many fire him, get him out, it's over, we're done, we're doomed, right? I didn't get as many of those yesterday as I thought. Now, those people are out there, don't get me wrong. But a lot of people yesterday came in and made suggestions that there are ways to fix it without blowing up the entire operation yet again. And I was genuinely surprised, and it was a little refreshing. And so we're going to get to that. But ultimately, Auburn loses to Missouri on Saturday, 23-17 in double overtime. Just your initial thoughts. You had an extra day to sit on it, so I'm sure you're ready to go. So your thoughts on what happened on Saturday inside Jordan-Hare.
Yeah, well, you read my text in the first segment talking about the overtime coin toss and how you saw how Missouri handled the coin toss. You saw how outspoken they were. You saw how verbal they were. I mean, if you were in the stadium, you heard it on the crowd mic. If you were watching on TV, you heard it on the crowd mic and on the ESPN mic about how it's over. This is over. We're going to get this stop. We're going to win the game. And it took an extra period because Auburn misses a field goal, as does Missouri. But simply the fact of Auburn walks onto their logo at midfield and just takes everything that was thrown at them and does not have a response. You felt like that was kind of a perfect example of kind of the four quarters prior to that, in my opinion. We've talked a lot about it, and we'll continue to talk a lot about it, but man, it just feels like there's a play that you can go back to in just about every single Auburn loss under the Hugh Freeze era of if this goes Auburn's way, it turns everything. But as soon as it doesn't, it feels like you cannot find a way to overcome it. 2 weeks ago at Georgia, or against Georgia at home, it took almost until nearly halftime when Jackson Arnold had the fumble at the goal line. And then obviously you saw how Hugh Freeze responded in the halftime interview, and you saw how the team responded out of the halftime break. Last weekend, and I understand that some of these plays are game-changing plays, but more times than not, it's not ones that happen on 4th and 5 in the fourth quarter that legitimately make the decision of a win or a loss. But, man, you saw the way the team responded after the Cam Coleman drop. After the drop that would have gone for a touchdown, Auburn's up 14-0, and you saw how the team responded. It took almost a quarter for Auburn. We did the math. It was me and Lance up in the press box doing statistics, which is not my favorite part of school, by the way. This was more of a, okay, let's see how long it takes Auburn to get back into the positive net yardage after that. It took nearly a quarter.
Yeah.
Because of false starts and because of just the inability to move the football after that play. Guys, Auburn put up 17 points again. That's the thing that needs to be highlighted more than just about everything, is this is not one of those overtime games where it's 38-38 and you need to find a way to get into the end zone and find a way to get a stop. Auburn's yet to put up 21 or more points in a loss in the last 2 years.
Offense is not that hard. That's what I said yesterday, is I refuse to believe that it's that difficult. And I am by no means an offensive genius or guru or even an offensive coach or even an offensive mind. But I refuse to believe that offense is that hard. And something I wrote on our notes today is this staff, especially on the offensive side, has no feel for the game. None whatsoever. And I saw some folks talking today about Lane Kiffin and how he doesn't script his drive. He just calls plays based off what he sees, based off what the defense gives him.
It's exactly what we've asked for.
Yeah.
We've sat there and talked so much about, instead of having somebody with the title of guru or genius on the offensive side of the football, have somebody that knows how to call plays based off of situational awareness, based off of what the defense is going to give you, even if it's not necessarily to your strength. Find a way to make it your strength. I know we're going to continue to read a whole lot of these statistics just about this game on Saturday, but I saw one that Ferg tweeted, and I know you read a lot of them yesterday. Don't think you got to this one, but it said that Auburn football has had 12 games under Hugh Freeze in which the score was either tied or separated by a single possession with 6 minutes left in regulation. So 12 games in the final 6 minutes where Auburn is either tied, either have a touchdown lead, or they're only down by a touchdown. Auburn is 2-10 in those games, and they have lost a fourth quarter lead in half of them, including 5 of the losses.
Including Saturday.
Including Saturday.
Where you got the football up by a touchdown with 8 minutes to play. In the stat that I read yesterday, you ran 17 plays from that moment on.
What, for like 40 yards?
From that moment on Saturday, Auburn gets the football back up by a touchdown with 8 minutes to play. You ran 17 plays for 42 yards and didn't score again. I said on the way out yesterday, that's a fireable offense.
Yeah.
It's a fireable offense for the guy who he's not even your offensive coordinator. He's your head coach. He's your head coach.
And remember, who demands to be calling offensive plays.
Correct. And that's what I was getting to, is the debate that was going on all spring and all summer and all the different comments and the fact that this guy's going to call first down plays and this guy's going to call second down. Remember all that drama? And then he put that to bed game one because he breaks out the Science Fair Project billboard that's got all of his play calls on it. And he's barking orders into the headset. There's no secret on who's calling plays. Right? There's no secret. And in the 2.5 years that Hugh Freeze has been here, he has done nothing defensively. Nothing. Because he doesn't have to. Because DJ Durkin's the best defensive coordinator in the country. But offensively, where he puts all of his time, all of his effort, all of his energy, along with Derek Nix, who's been with him for a long time, and Ken Austin, the quarterback's coach.
Yeah, they know each other's brain.
But they don't know offense. They don't know how to run proper plays. They don't know how to coach. They don't know how to call plays. They don't know the ebbs and flows of a game. The side of the football that he is responsible for sucks. And it has since he got here. And somehow, some way, it has gotten worse as the year has gone on. That's what I mentioned yesterday, is somehow the Baylor game was your best one of the year. Your opener was the best performance of the year.
And it was because you went against with what you believed, with what you truly wanted to do.
And then you admitted it.
And then you admitted it, and for some reason we took that as an ode of confidence. Which we'll get to out of confidence here in a little bit with other people. But we took that as, look, he's learned. He did what he did not want to do, and he saw success from it. So maybe, that means that we've gotten bigger. We've grown. We've found a way to overcome the mental mistakes and the mental challenges of doing what I see fit and doing what the team needs to do to find success. And Hugh Freeze's 15 losses in the SEC, which that already, that in itself hurts to have to say.
In 2.5 years.
And Hugh Freeze's 15 losses in the SEC, if he would have gotten to 24 points, he would have 5 additional wins, and he would have gone to overtime at least twice. 24 points.
Remember last year, going into the season, I said that Auburn's defense would keep them in every single football game, and that ended up being true, right? Where in win or in losses, they didn't give up more than 24 points except one time to Georgia. But coming into this year, I said, I think there's a chance that could be the same case, but I wasn't ready to commit to that yet. I wasn't ready to say that this Auburn defense could replicate that performance from a year ago. I'm ready to say it now. I'm ready now. And if the wheels fall off this weekend in Fayetteville, which we're going to talk about later in the show with our friend Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas, if the wheels do fall off defensively this weekend, so be it. I don't care. And I don't think Auburn fans care either.
There's zero blame that's going to be put on the defense.
No. The defense has done its job up to this point. And if they, I'm not supporting this idea, but if they cash it in and say, you know what? We're done. We're done. Even if you don't collectively come to an agreement before the game, I'm not saying that's how that works. I'm saying over time you get worn down. Your mind, your body, you give up, you give in. You're tired of defending low scores. You're tired of playing your heart out knowing that you're going to lose anyway. Like, it takes a special human to do that. And to try and get 11 guys at one time on the field to do that, or however many Auburn's in rotation with right now, 20 or 25 guys defensively, the human mind can't do that week after week after week.
Defending the only team in the SEC that has not put up 20 points in a conference game.
It's embarrassing, man. And I hate to continue to beat the horse that's been dead for about a month now, and we just keep coming back to it every day and every week, and the Auburn fans just get out their clubs and just start beating this thing for a while. But, man, it's right there in front of you, right? How can you not? How can you not stress the disappointment and the anger and the frustration and the exhaustion that you feel watching this football team, where you have an opportunity this Saturday to go and get an easy win? That Arkansas team's not good. They're playing better. They're playing much better. And there's a chance they hang it on you this weekend.
Yeah.
There's a chance they let you have it this weekend. And that might be the breaking point. I don't know. But I want to read this stat as we go to break. And this is what I wanted to get to yesterday, but I'm glad we're saving it for right now because it goes along with what you were talking about, Christian. Jacob Waters put this out from the OA News. Now, it's a long one, so stick with me here. He says against Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Missouri, Auburn's four losses in SEC play. He says Auburn's offense has had 10 drives in the fourth quarter overtime with a chance. This goes in line with what you were talking about, Christian. Auburn's offense has had 10 drives in the fourth quarter or overtime with a chance to tie or take the lead in their four losses. The first of those 10 drives was the 14-play touchdown drive in the fourth quarter against Oklahoma that gave Auburn the lead, right? Looked pretty good. Auburn got that drive, and Norman, you took the lead. That was the first one.
Yeah, that was overcoming two fourth downs, mm-hmm. one of them being fourth and 10-plus.
Looked great. Since that point, your 9 offensive drives in the fourth quarter or overtime in the four losses this year. You had a 7-play drive against Oklahoma, went for negative 8 yards. You gave up a safety to end the game.
They also took up the final 4:50
of the clock. 5 minutes of the game. You had 3 of those drives against Texas A&M in the fourth quarter or overtime with a chance to tie or take the lead. 3-play drive, negative 4 yards, punt. 3-play drive, 0 yards, punt. 4-play drive, 3 yards, turnover on downs.
Including throwing it on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 with the defense in prevent.
You had 1 drive against Georgia in the fourth quarter or overtime with a chance to tie or take the lead. 3-play drive, 4 yards, and punt. You had 4 drives against Missouri in the fourth quarter or overtime with a chance to tie or take the lead. 6-play drive, 35 yards, punt. A 1-play drive, negative 1 yard, end of regulation. You can count that one if you want to. 4-play drive, negative 7 yards in overtime, and you missed the field goal. 4-play drive, 2 yards, and you turn it over on downs. Ball game. I refuse to believe that you're that bad. I refuse to believe the offense is simply that bad. You have to try to be that bad. Dude, you don't see peewee football this bad. You don't see bad JV football this bad. You don't see 2A football on a Friday night this bad. You don't see it this bad at the Y. Like, you have to try to be that bad.
It's 35 plays for 24 yards.
And not a single score.
If you are excluding that first drive against Oklahoma that led to a touchdown, the other 9 drives to win, take the lead, or come from behind. 35 plays for 24 yards.
And negative 2 points.
Yeah.
Think about that. Your offense gave them points.
Yeah, the other team's defense is scoring more than your offense is in crunch time. Whoa.
Think about that. That's your answer right there. But as I said, as we get to break here, a lot of fans yesterday recommended some changes, recommended things that Auburn could do to fix it that doesn't require a teetotal change. We'll talk about that, plus more thoughts from this game and what else is going on around college football. We'll talk about that when we come back. Phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of the show, 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text at 334-784-1067. We have some text to get to as well. That's all here as we're just underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, talking more Auburn football against Missouri on Saturday. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390 on the phone lines, or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. This person was from yesterday, but it kind of goes along with what we were saying. Auburn played their best game against Baylor in the opener. It's Auburn's best win. And that team is tied for sixth in the Big 12 right now. So take that with a grain of salt, or do with that with what you would like. Auburn's best win on the season is the Baylor Bears, who are currently 4-3 overall and tied for sixth in the Big 12.
It's the one defense that you played that did not make any adjustments.
That's fair. I don't think they could. I don't think they have the talent.
I don't either, but I think it was just, we're going to try and outscore them, and we're not going to allow them to do what they want to do. And Aranda challenged Hugh Freeze to go against what he felt like was the best way to win a football game, and he did in that game.
I'm starting to think that Dave Aranda's not all that great of a coach. Just based off of the football, because we've gone out of our way to watch Baylor this year just to make sure, you know, just to see what they do the rest of the way. And there's been some really questionable things that they do in some of their games, but Auburn won that game.
Other than Sawyer Robertson, who's
a baller.
Legit.
Yeah, he's a baller. But that's where Auburn's offense looked the best. It's been pitiful ever since. But the question now.
Remember when we played South Alabama and we chose that it was just vanilla.
Yeah,
it was just
I talked
it
about
was
that
just
yesterday.
Us trying to make sure that we kept guys healthy and
well, remember the offensive line in the Ball State game just got smoked.
Yeah, and if not five sacks.
Yeah, and then South Alabama it was, but that's a decent South Alabama team.
There was a handshake in that game to not allow South Alabama to win that game. Because that last drive that they took used like 9 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the offense has literally regressed since the Baylor game. But the question is, right, the question is the rest of the way for Auburn, starting this weekend against Arkansas, can the offensive issues be fixed? Can they be fixed? Can you change play calling? Can you change game plan? Can you change quarterback? That's been pondered, and that is going to be up for grabs this weekend. Freeze admitted that it was on the table last weekend, and I actually defend what he said, Christian. He said, how could you look at what Jackson Arnold did in the first half against Missouri and bench the guy? I don't think you could.
Or even the first half against Georgia.
Yeah, I don't think you could. I agree. But now we're to the point where Jackson Arnold has not played well, and I think he deserves some of the blame, not all by any means. But at some point, you have to change something. And that's what a lot of our fans and listeners talked about yesterday, was there are ways to and things to change and ways to be better where you don't have to just simply fire the head coach, let's start over. Right? You can change play callers. You can change game plan. You can change your mentality, your ideology. You can change the quarterback. You have to do something. And that was my message yesterday, and it continues to be, you cannot continue to do the same things because you believe in it. You believe it's going to work and hope that it's just going to magically work. And it might against Arkansas. You know why? Because statistically, they're one of the worst defenses in the country.
And that's what I was just about to say. Isn't that kind of the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again?
It is.
Expecting there to be a different result. You feel like that's what happens every single Saturday, and despite finding ways to lose that you didn't think were possible, it all boils down to the exact same equation when you're solving for X. It's still the exact same every single time, and it's offensive struggles. Offensive just being anemic when you're in crunch time and finding ways that you need points. You just cannot find any sort of way to do that. And so, yeah, I think that it's things that can be fixed, but if they are fixed against Arkansas, you're not going to find me coming on here on Monday saying that everything is okay. And I think that that's where, again, listening to a bunch of the calls yesterday and just talking with people in the stadium and on Sunday, and just about how you feel like everybody's relatively in that same boat now after the loss against Missouri, that it's not the win over Arkansas is going to cure everything. Heck, even a win over Arkansas and then coming back home for yet, for some reason, another night game inside Jordan-Hare Stadium against Kentucky. I mean, think about what the season could be.
Yeah, think about where you could be at right now. You could be
three SEC games at home or at night.
I mean, you could legitimately be 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, even if you're, how many games have we played so far? 7, right?
Even, you could be even if you're 5-2, which would be a frustrating 5-2.
You stack an easy win this weekend, 6-2. You come home for another night game. That's 7-2. Then you go on the road to Vanderbilt for an awesome environment, an awesome game.
And then Mercer and Alabama.
But yet, we're sitting here talking about how can you beat Arkansas and will it be okay? Because remember, you and I were in that boat to start the season. Losing to Oklahoma and A&M, but beating Arkansas and Kentucky doesn't balance out, right? And I think most of the fan base is there too.
No, especially not now. Especially not based off of how everything is gone. You have to figure something out, but if you're playing for a spot where coaching for your job, if that's not the right fit, then you're delaying a process that's going to be really painful.
Auburn still has a head coach, but a lot of teams do not. We talk about chaos across the country after this.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us here on this Tuesday afternoon. Again, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. We're about to get to that in just a second. Text box is open as well if you'd like to be a part of the show that way at 334-784-1067. A new texter in the On the Line text box says this: why don't we consider DJ Durkin for head coach? That way, we probably keep the roster or most of them and go out and hire the best offensive coordinator in the country. We certainly have the money. So that's where that fan is. And I think a lot of people, again, I truly believe, and Terry, we're about to get to you in just a moment. I really do think, as crappy as it is, the word I go back to after yesterday's show and even 30 minutes into today's show, it is a little refreshing for most of the Auburn fan base to be where I think you and I have been the last couple of weeks, where it's like, okay, all right, it's probably over. Like, I don't blame Auburn fans for holding out hope against Georgia and even holding out hope against Missouri, right? Totally understand. You win one of those, you win both of those, figure out a way, right? Everything's still on the table to have a successful season. But I just don't think anybody's going into this game this weekend, which is what you and I have been talking about here the first 30 minutes of the show. There's just not a whole lot of, well, if you beat Arkansas, there's just not a whole lot of that, which is kind of what this texter's getting to. Time to start thinking about replacements, and his vote is DJ Durkin.
If it's DJ Durkin, it's DJ Durkin. Even if it's Hugh Freeze, which there's been the conversations of keeping Freeze from the standpoint of keeping the roster, keeping the name, but just moving him into that GM role, which is obviously a big pride drops in it, or a big pride drop, and a little bit of a money drop as well, which is something that coaches don't traditionally want to do. But if you get to that point of, okay, this is where it's at, or walk.
Yeah.
Then you feel like then there could be some sort of saving grace. Otherwise, you feel like, again, you're just treading in water right now.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. What's going on, Terry? How are you on this Tuesday?
Great, Jacob. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you. Christian, glad to have you back, man.
Thank you, sir.
Can the offense be fixed? Yes. Will it be? No. Do y'all really believe that Hugh Freeze is going to give it? He's steadfast. He's ingrained. He's going to be the way he is.
Yeah.
He has full control of that offense, and that's the way he wants it, and he's not going to let go of it.
No.
And it's he just throws his hands up with the offensive coordinator, whoever else.
So you think so? You're in the boat of it. It could be fixed, but it won't be with the current name, as he's not going to willingly make any adjustments. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to let go of it. He's not. And no matter what the change does, the quarterback or whoever, not going to matter. Not going to matter at all. There are several references. I want your guys' opinion on this. On the Max Roundtable today, the lead into you guys, about Hugh Freeze's health being in decline. Does he look okay to you guys?
I mean,
I wouldn't say any worse from this season, and being the two of us, again, that work a little bit more on the media side of things, that has much more been speculation from the fan base. He's yet to use that as any sort of reasoning behind anything.
Right. Well, I mean, none of us are doctors. I just saying that, you know, that it's out there.
Right.
It's stuff is out there that he and you know, he may have lost some of his drive. I don't know. I don't know. Who knows?
I think he's lost his touch. I think that for sure, Terry. And that's why I think, yeah, and to the health stuff, I mean, we don't know, so it's hard to talk about that. But I do think there is a world where Hugh Freeze is not fired, rather than, I think you guys were talking about this, stepping down or taking that new role or whatever the case may be, because I do think he does good things. I mean, look at Auburn recruiting. Few things have gotten better since Hugh Freeze got here, but recruiting is absolutely one of those things.
Right. And Jacob, I do like the idea that the texter came up with a DJ Durkin. I know I was against DJ Durkin to start with, but now I'm kind of giving up on the offensive guys for head coaches because they interfere too much. I kind of like that idea. Kind of like it a lot. It does keep the team together a little bit and keep some of the players around. I kind of like that idea. I really do.
At least it's somebody within the program right now that would have a feel of what's going on inside those walls.
Right. You guys take care.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390.
And again, it goes right back to, I mean, you go and you look around college football at the defensive head coaches that don't participate on the offensive side of the football, and look at the success that they have. I mean, look at when you're sitting there looking at Georgia. Obviously, Kirby Smart is that top guy. And again, man, we spent more time looking at him pre-snap when Georgia was playing defense than just about anything. When we're sitting there in the press box or on the field of, man, look where Kirby's lined up. I'm telling you, at the linebackers,
Never fails.
First one right there. He does not worry about the offense whatsoever. You know, Dan Lanning's taking a big step in that as well. Again, just being that defensive guy, he has a little bit more say on the offense, but not somebody that's willing their team calling the plays every single down. I mean, some of the top teams in college football have that defensive coordinator as their head coach, and they allow the two best guys on their staff to control the offensive side of the ball.
Back to the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7, 334-321-1390, all the way down in Lochapoca. We got Lonnie on the phone lines. What's going on, Lonnie? How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing good, my man. What's on your mind?
Finally got a little cooler weather, and
yes, thank
feels
the
like
Lord.
Maybe summer's on out of here, so that's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you who doesn't look good health-wise. Me, every time I watch an Auburn game, because Hugh Freeze's offense wants to make me puke. Am I a bad fan thinking that I don't – well, not only do I not care if we win this Saturday, I'm of the opinion that I want us to lose, and there's a reason for that. Because the worst thing that could happen would be for us to run the table or even run the table to the Bama game and lose a close game to Bama, and then the powers that be start going, well, maybe we do need to give him another year. That would be a disaster. in my opinion.
And isn't that a story as old as time, Lonnie? I mean, how many times do you see that across the sports landscape? But we've even dealt with that for the last three coaching regimes at Auburn, right? You get to this, it's basically the breaking point, right? Of do you cheer for your team because you want them to win, or do you kind of zoom out a little bit and start thinking ahead for the future and what could be best, which might be losing games for somebody to lose his job, which sounds bad, and in some cases it is, but we're at that breaking point yet again, and it's the million-dollar question, Lonnie. It really is.
Well, you've got – I mean, I don't know how you all feel about this, and I know I've put my vote in the hat for John Summerall, but it really doesn't have to be him. I've got my top three in really no particular. Well, I guess John Summerall would probably be my number one, but and I get the argument against him saying that could be another, you know, you could end up with another Napier situation with him. I don't see him with the same type of demeanor as Napier. I think he's a better coach, and I think he's got more of pedigree, and he's been in the SEC already. Or, you know, played in the SEC at least. But in no particular order other than that, I'll say Summerall, Glenn Schumann, defensive coordinator, and Durkin, because I'm done with the offensive guru doo-doo crap. I'm sick of these guys. I don't know that I'm full scale against the RPOs. You know, we don't run a straight RPO, but I think a lot of the defensive schemes have caught up with some of this RPO stuff, unless you have got an absolutely elite quarterback that can run it, and that's a gamble.
Yeah,
you know that's a gamble. Like even if you sign a five-star quarterback, it's not 100% that the guy's gonna be able to run that system, but. If you have a strong defense and you've got a good running game and you've got an adequate quarterback, you can win 90% of your games.
University of Georgia.
Exactly. So that's where my head's at on the coach. I just we've done what, three offensive coaches in a row now, going back to Gus. And yes, Gus did have a little success, but even his offense got stale. So I think defense, you know, I think the defensive mind is, that's where we need to go. Because I don't know. That's where I'm at least. So anyway, War Eagle and go Hawks.
Appreciate the call, Lonnie. Oh no, Lonnie's completely flipped. He's completely out.
Well, it goes back to the conversation.
He's calling the Hogs this Saturday.
He's Woo Pig suing. Yeah.
I don't know it.
But no, it's the conversation we had on Friday. It sounds terrible from the standpoint of a fan base and us being fans first before media, honestly, when things are said and done. But using the word counterproductive of, again, a win over Arkansas now and a win over Kentucky, the fan base that half, you know what, watches these games, they're going to see two W's and look, Auburn back above 500 and look at what we're doing now. It's back-to-back wins. Things are turning in the right direction. But then you take a look at the big picture and realize the two teams that you just beat, if you're even able to beat them right now. Auburn opened as a 2.5 point or a 1.5 favorite. Arkansas is now a 2.5 point favorite. Why would anybody put any money on Auburn right now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. And let's not just overlook Kentucky, who isn't good, but they almost beat Texas this weekend, which may say more about Texas. And I do remind people...
But that happened with a quarterback change.
Correct.
With Cutter Bolden.
And I do want to remind people that it took a historic day from Jarquez Hunter in Auburn football history last year to go on the road and beat that Kentucky squad in Lexington.
Auburn was up 7 start of the fourth quarter.
You don't have that. You don't have Jarquez Hunter last year. You lose that game.
Yeah.
You lose that game in Lexington. And so, I mean, there's so many things. And to Lonnie's point of what you were talking about as well, it goes back to the point that I've had for weeks now. And I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I don't know another way to say it. A win over Arkansas doesn't make up for a loss against Oklahoma. A win against Kentucky doesn't make up for the loss against A&M. And if you are John Cohen, if you are the board of directors, if you are Auburn University, and you can't see that, you can't diversify that, you can't separate those two, and you can't get it in your brain that those are not equal, then you shouldn't be in the position you're in.
Even more so if that's the case, like what we were talking about, where if it's now, after four losses, now it's the, all right, you're coaching for your job.
Yeah, why is the urgency
Why is Arkansas the urgency rather than your two games at home? Rather than the teams that you're trying to essentially copy and teams that you're trying to be like because they've been better than you over the past decade. Why can't that be the case?
Yeah.
But instead it's, okay, this team's not as good. If you can beat them, then it shows that there's progress.
Yeah, good job, Hugh. Good job, Auburn. You beat Arkansas.
That's when we'll give our ode of confidence that you're asking for.
But if you're going into it with your coaching for your job, if you go into this weekend with his job is up for grabs, his job is on the line, in the back of your head, the decision's already
made. It's already been made. Exactly. You're dragging your feet in the sand, hoping that something is going to come of it, rather than it being right now, it's going to be in 2 weeks when you go to Vanderbilt and get demolished by Diego Pavia for the 18th straight year, because after back-to-back wins, you're not allowed to talk about, you're not allowed to talk about all the bad. You're not allowed to talk about the losses because there's now a win that's sitting there above it. So those feelings that you have to continue to push those deeper down until another loss happens, and then it can all be brought to the top.
You know who disagrees with that?
The University of Florida.
Bingo. Don't worry, though. Auburn's not the only program in the country that's dealing with an offensive guru as a head coach that just simply won't give it up. And this program is a lot bigger than Auburn.
Before we go to break, I got an article from, this is from May, and so obviously this is a little outdated now with this college football season, but it's ranking the best coaches in college football, and I want to kind of wrap up that thought of the defensive-minded head coach and letting the offense do what it needs to do. One, Kirby Smart, defensive guy. Ryan Day, I'll put a little bit more on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah,
I'll put
he's good on both.
I'll put a little bit more. Dabo is at three. Again, this is from May. Dabo. Defensive. Marcus Freeman, defensive. He was a defensive coordinator. Sark, more offensive. Dan Lanning, defensive. James Franklin, defensive. Kyle Whittingham, defensive. Matt Campbell, I don't really know. I think more defensive because it's Iowa State, but again, I think he leans a little bit more to the offensive side. But you look at the best coaches in college football, and they're defensive-minded guys. Auburn's at such the anomaly right now of how many teams, again, I know we're getting a break and I'm continuing to ask questions, but man, how many teams would be undefeated if they had Auburn's defense? Auburn is the anomaly to where there's plenty of college football teams that are perfectly fine. They'll put up 35 points easily. The only thing is they can't help but give up 38.
The team you're playing this weekend.
To a T. If Arkansas's offense had Auburn's defense, they'd be one of the best teams in the freaking country.
They'd be a top 10 team in the nation.
But Auburn is that anomaly and continues to be the anomaly of, man, we have a defense that only gives up about 17 points a game. We have a top 10 defense in the country.
In an era of college football where offenses are flourishing.
Yeah.
Flourishing.
Where it's easy to score a football. It's harder to get stops than it is to score.
But I'm glad you said Steve Sarkisian in that list. Because that's who I want to talk about next. Because he had some interesting quotes about play calling. We'll talk about that and wrap up hour number one when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. And don't worry, Auburn fans, if you're concerned with your offensive-minded head coach who calls plays and is hesitant to give that part of it up because he thinks he's just smarter and better than everybody else. You're not the only fan base in that issue, right? He's not the only coach that thinks that way. In case you haven't noticed, who calls plays for the Texas Longhorns, it's the head coach, Steve Sarkisian. And in case you haven't noticed, that's a Texas Longhorns offense that has truthfully just been bad this year. A Texas Longhorns offense that almost lost to Kentucky last weekend and had to go to a little thing called overtime to get it done, right? And you don't normally think about Texas having offensive issues, but just to give you an idea of what the 22nd ranked team in the country has been up to, which is absurd that they're still ranked that high, but I guess a win over Oklahoma will do that.
They're now ranked that high.
Now ranked that high, yes. They put up 7 points against Ohio State. They put up 21 points against Florida, 23 points against Oklahoma, and 16 points in overtime in a win over Kentucky. Okay? So in their four P4 games, that's 7, 21, 23, and 16. I should have done this math during the break, and I didn't. So let's do this. 7, because I can't do mental math.
28 plus 23.
Oh, dang it. I was typing numbers and you screwed me up. Hold on. Here we go. All right. 67 divided by 4. They're averaging less than 17 points a game in their P4 games. Sounds like somebody familiar, right? Sounds pretty similar to what Auburn's been up to. Texas is averaging less than 17 points a game in their P4 games this year.
They found ways to win.
They did. They did find ways to win. But someone had the stones to ask Steve Sarkisian, hey, any chance you have thought about giving up your play calling duties since clearly the offense isn't working? And Steve Sarkisian makes an ugly face, shakes his head, and says, that's why I got hired. I was a really good offensive coordinator. Goes on to say, I believe in what we're able to do every year. We have to continually evolve. That's why I got hired. I was a really good offensive coordinator. So don't worry, Auburn fans. If you feel alone, if you feel like you're trapped on an island by yourself, call up a Texas buddy if you have one. They may have similar feelings to what's going on in Austin. Hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We're talking the biggest storylines outside of Auburn across the college football world. We do that to start hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We're happy that you're with us on this gorgeous Tuesday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. Temperatures have dropped. I think I saw this crazy thing. The leaves are changing colors maybe somewhere. Pretty wild stuff.
It was like frost on the ground, or dew on the ground, but it was, icy this morning.
Love it.
It's kind of cool.
It could still be colder for me, but that's okay. We're getting there. As we are nearing the end of October, it's finally decided we're going to get our 2 weeks of the fall, and then we're going to head straight into the cold months. So that's fine. As long as it's not 90-plus anymore, I don't really care. So, hey, we appreciate you being with us as we get started here in hour number two. If you missed any of the first hour of today's show, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. We post that for you. Just take the show, put the audio up there for you on our station website at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. The first hour, we talked a lot more about Auburn and Missouri. Christian got a lot of his thoughts out since he wasn't with us yesterday. He was able to get a lot of his thoughts out today. Several phone calls, several text messages, just some more stats and comparisons and talking about, can Auburn fix it, right? Can the offense be turned around midseason heading to Arkansas this weekend? All of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, again, check it out on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we're starting our conversation about some of the best results in college football over this past weekend. Some SEC games, talking about other conferences. Is the Big 12 legit, or are they going to continue to beat each other up? Can there be two teams that kind of get that tier above the rest of the pack? The ACC is kind of what we thought the ACC
bad
would be. We're diving into some of the games from the top 25. Again, not necessarily overly into box scores or anything like that, but just kind of the viewpoints of what we saw from these games and the stories of college football. Before we dive into a little bit of other sports, again, the MLB World Series is set.
Yeah.
NBA opening night. Again, not talking too much about those, but just a little bit of conversations worth noting. Before we get to Ty Richardson, our buddy on ESPN Arkansas, talking about all things Auburn and Arkansas.
Yeah, there was a ton that went down in college football this past weekend, and so we're going to flash back just a little bit. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number if you want to call in to be a part of the show that way, or you can always shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. I think we start with results, then we get to the pieces of news because of those results. I think that's probably the best way to attack this here for the next 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we do it the way that we've done it the past. I kind of read it out to you, and you give your thoughts, and I'll go right back to
starting
it.
Starting Friday night, right?
We have to.
Yes. Man, Minnesota, man, got it done. I did predict that, by the way.
You did.
We didn't put that in our pick'ems, and we should have.
I'm very glad that we did not pick either of those Friday games officially because...
Well, we both would have lost the one, but I absolutely nailed the Minnesota-Nebraska game because my reasoning was what? It's a prime Nebraska blow-it game, and it's a prime PJ Fleck get-up game.
And it's a prime... I didn't really think about it, but, man, Matt Rhule with the Penn State job should have known.
Yeah, he had comments about it this week, and I didn't fully read into it.
Either,
I think he did the normal, the usual deflect.
My focus
I don't
is
talk
right
about that
LinkedIn
with my team, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, okay, bro, shut up.
But I for some reason, that didn't come to my mind at all.
I didn't take that into consideration. I just went the other two routes.
Definitely should have been, yeah, Minnesota beats Nebraska 24-6. Carson Pick Beck, does what a lot of the SEC fans saw, and funny enough, it feels like everybody – has, whether it's justifiable or not, one bad game immediately brings everybody back to what they saw last year with Carson Beck. But yes, Louisville beats Miami in what was a very gross game. Carson Beck throws four interceptions.
Miami, overrated. Like I said, they were. They're not as good as people think they are. They're an average team, maybe above average. They're still a good team. They can still win some games, but they're not a national title contender. And guess what? Nobody out of the ACC. Yes, I said that right. Nobody in the ACC is a national title contender.
Not even one team that Christian had sliding into the college football playoff?
Nope. Right. The ACC sucks.
Well, next, they're going to get three teams in because the SEC might get two teams
in. Are you counting Notre Dame?
People
as
aren't
an
ready
ACC
for that
team
conversation. Moving into Saturday. Ohio State.
Dominant.
Really freaking
dominant.
Good.
Yeah.
You feel like they're the most impressive team so far in college football, not just based off of what they've done against really good teams, but most impressively because they haven't had that game where they haven't had the slip up. They haven't had that gotcha game yet. Many were saying that it could be Wisconsin since they were going on the road. Nope, 34-0.
Yeah, Ohio State's really good. And what sucks is they do have Penn State this weekend, but that's in Columbus. That's in the shoe. That's the big new kickoff. And actually, apologies, that's next weekend for Ohio State, Penn State. So what I'm worried about is I don't think we've seen the full potential of that Ohio State team. I think they have stuff that they have not even shown yet.
I was
going
to say, you haven't really needed to because the starters play three quarters.
And they have good wins. Washington, Illinois, Texas. I mean, they have good wins on that schedule. Ohio State's just a different beast right now.
Indiana rolls. They beat Michigan State 38-13. Move into the top five. Is it for the first time ever?
Yeah. Their highest ranking ever. They were ranked fourth last week. They were ranked third last week. Now they're ranked second in the AP poll, their highest ranking ever in program history. No hangover there, no distractions there. Kurt Cignetti gets the extension. Indiana's a legit football team.
Texas A&M beats Arkansas 45-42. And yes, that gives a whole lot of confidence for Auburn fans making their way to Fayetteville this year. Arkansas, we've talked about it all week or all season. We'll talk about it more here in hour number two and throughout the week. Arkansas, one of the best offenses in the entire country, but one of the worst defenses in the entire country.
I don't know what this Texas A&M team is going to be, and I hate to be the guy that says their schedule isn't going to be all that difficult, but you start looking back at the teams they've beat, right? This is the second time they've given up 40 points in a win, which is kind of crazy to think about, going back to the Notre Dame game as well, where they won 41-40. I think Notre Dame's good, not great. Auburn, we know what that is. Mississippi State, we know what that is. Florida, we know what that is, and now you just beat Arkansas with Petrino as the new interim head coach. And you look at what A&M has coming up at LSU, who isn't as good as people thought they were, but that's still Death Valley at night this weekend. You do have to go to Missouri, which will be a tough game, and you still have to play Texas on the road. So will we find out what A&M is? I don't know, but I'm still not buying what A&M's selling.
Ole Miss punts the ball twice.
Gosh.
But loses 43-35. The only difference is Georgia doesn't punt the ball once. And I had it to where Georgia wins and Georgia covered. I believe you did as well.
Yeah.
In that field goal with about 3 minutes left. Georgia covered, baby. Georgia covered the 7.5.
God, man, if Lane Kiffin could find himself a defensive coordinator, he'd be one of the best coaches in the country. He is one of the best coaches in the country, but he would have his team undefeated. And this is one of the worst blown games we've seen from Lane Kiffin in his time at Oxford.
And you knew it was coming.
Oh, you could feel it. You absolutely could feel it. And that Georgia defense is putrid at times, but God, when they have to have a play, when they need a stop, they get it. They figure it out. And I saw somebody, it may have been our buddy Brooks, who does a lot of film stuff on Twitter and stuff. It may have been him talking about this, where Georgia doesn't have the amount of dudes on defense that they usually do, so they can't just come out and play great for four quarters, and they can't just overwhelm you on defense.
Yeah, you don't have the freedom in that defense that some guys used to have.
And they don't have the ability to overcome the mistakes like they used to with just raw talent. But they still have enough to beat you, and they still have Kirby Smart and that entire defensive staff that know how to put their guys in position to win when it matters the most. And that's what they did on Saturday.
You have Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann.
Pretty darn
tells
good.
Tells you a lot of the story just about every single time. Georgia moves to 6-1, 4-1 in SEC. Ole Miss 6-1, 3-1 in the SEC. The only difference is Ole Miss, that was about the one game that they had to play up until later in the season. Gunnar Stockton goes 26 of 31, 289, four touchdowns through the air, also 59 rushing yards and a touchdown on the ground as well. Georgia keeps on rolling. Alabama also continues to dominate. They had one of their pick sixes that goes 100 yards of their own. We remember the Zakobe McClain one. Alabama had one, and you talk about a crowd pop.
Yeah,
it's a pretty cool video.
It's pretty awesome, and I've seen a bunch of different angles and things from it. I saw somebody who was in Tuscaloosa who stepped outside their house who was three miles away.
You couldn't even see the stadium.
3 miles away, but you could hear it. And it was pretty awesome.
You can hear the interception. You can also hear when he breaks the tackle at like the 40-yard line. And
yeah.
It just loses its mind. Black Hoodie DeBoer, again, is very scary.
Yeah.
Arizona State defeats Texas Tech in a really gross game. Ended up being a really, really wild game. And I'm telling you, man, the Big 12 just continues to beat each other up.
Arizona State had it. Arizona State blew it, and then Arizona State got it back. That game was insane. It was wild. But what a huge win for Dilly Dilly, for Kenny Dillingham and the Arizona State Sun Devils, taking down the best team that the Big 12 has to offer. And that conference is legit. The problem is, can they get a couple of teams out of the pack to not be cannibalized here? Texas Tech, you were thinking was going to be that team, but they got a long way to go.
Rutgers, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that was a no doubter.
Oregon beats Indiana, or Oregon loses to Indiana rather at home, 30-20. And we talked about it all week. If there was a team that you needed to be absolutely fearful of or fearful for, it's Rutgers. They just get absolutely manhandled. 56-10. We should have put all of our Monopoly money, because that was what we predicted to a T of, it doesn't matter whatever the spread was, put it on Oregon. They dominate in that game. Vanderbilt's offensive line continues to prove that it is really, really legit. They run a very interesting style of offense, something that we were able to talk about and halfway comically laughing our pain away about, what all of the schemes and all of the movement that they do on the offensive line of their guards and their tackles. There's a strong tackle and a strong guard, and then there's a quick tackle and a quick guard, and they separate or they rotate based off of which way they're traditionally running the football, or which way is to the far side of the field.
Yeah, right? Which way is the play going?
Which one is leading you out into space?
Mm-hmm.
And they allow the other ones to be Diego Pavia's kind of blindside blockers, because they trust them a little bit more. They might be a little bit quicker in pass protection, and they call them the strong tackle, the strong guard, and the quick guard, and the quick tackle. And you saw a lot of that rotation, man. You're seeing videos now of just all, the Vandy offensive line dominating the LSU defensive line. And how dare us not take exactly what Vegas knew. They knew something, putting Vandy up for 1.5. The first time they were favored over LSU since 1948. The first time they were favored over anybody since 1978. And they get it done. They win at 31-24.
Yeah, not only is Indiana a legit team, Vanderbilt's a legit team too. And what a world that we're in, where Indiana and Vanderbilt are top 10 teams in college football. Think about that for a second. Indiana and Vanderbilt are top 10 teams in the nation, and it's not a fluke. It's not a fault. They are legit. And LSU, man, talk about a weird situation they're in. That defense is not as good as they think it is, or thought it was going to be. And I understand that Will Weeks being out was big. They missed him on Saturday. But you can't give up 31 points to Vanderbilt and expect to win that game. And Vandy's defense made plays when they needed to. And Clark Lee's just a pretty darn good coach. A guy who is making the least amount of money in the SEC. He's like 54th. Or he's in the 50s of ranking in terms of his payment by head coaches in college football. That man's going to get a raise one way or the other. Whether it's in Nashville or he takes another job, Clark Lee's going to get a raise, and it's much deserved. Watch out for Vanderbilt. They're a dark horse. Not a dark horse anymore. They're a threat to make the college football playoff.
Indiana, Vanderbilt, and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets defeat Duke 27-18. I had it early in the season. The winner of this game makes the college football playoff. I predicted Georgia Tech to win this football game. And hint, hint, if there's anybody out there that is taking Christian's wants and desires, if there's a change on the plains, you don't have to go too far.
Yeah,
go back to dominating the Atlanta recruiting area.
And
you
could
do that
awesome
with Mr. Key.
Georgia Tech would be a 500 team in the SEC. I want that to be noted right now. Haynes King is awesome. That team is not good. Their wins are in the P4 are Colorado, Clemson, Temple, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, and Duke. The ACC sucks, and Georgia Tech is a 500 team if they play in the SEC.
They beat Auburn.
they would smoke Auburn.
And you can only play the teams that they're on that are on your schedule.
They beat Colorado. Let me just go on this little tirade for a second. Georgia Tech beat Colorado. You want to know what their record is? 3-4. Georgia Tech this season beat Clemson, who was 12th in the country at the time. Whoop-de-doo. Want to know how that team's faring right now? Yeah, they're under 500. They're 3-4, are the Clemson Tigers. Georgia Tech also beat Temple this year, 45-24. You want to know what Temple is this year? 4-3 in the American Conference. Give me a break. Want to know what else Georgia Tech did this year? They also beat, who else? Oh, Wake Forest. This would be a good one. Beat them by a point, had to come back to do it, had to use overtime to do it, did the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Want to know what Wake Forest is doing this year with somebody familiar at quarterback?
Don't you dare disrespect Robbie Ashford.
Yeah, 4-2. Congratulations. Their wins are over Virginia Tech and Oregon State. They lost to NC State, did Wake Forest. That's a weak win. And that's Georgia Tech's best win in terms of the record on their schedule. Oh, Virginia Tech. This is exciting. Let's talk about this one for a second. Virginia Tech, you want to know what they are? They're 2-5 and they don't have a head coach. You know who else Georgia Tech beat? Oh, yeah, we just talked about it. They just beat Duke 27-18. Had to score 17 points in the fourth quarter to do it. You want to know what Duke is this year on the season? They're 4-3.
You talked about how good Duke looked last week, so I don't want to hear it.
Duke is a they're okay. They're all right.
But if Duke were to beat Georgia Tech this weekend, you would say they were a great team. So I don't
want
to hear it.
That's not true. Georgia Tech's not a great team. Georgia Tech would be 500 in the SEC. Booked.
Georgia Tech finds a way. Notre Dame finds a way over USC. BYU finds a way over Utah. And then something we've talked about earlier, Texas finds a way. I saw somebody, I think it was Brooks as well, that said, you don't officially get welcomed into the SEC until you have to go and beat Kentucky and Lexington in overtime. So Texas, welcome to the SEC, because yep. Georgia's had to do that so many different times, but there it is.
Yeah, BYU, what a great win. I predicted that. That was one. Both you and I did not have great weeks last week.
Both of us went 6-4.
Winning records, though. Winning records. Not everybody in Auburn can say that. But right? Both went 6-4. Are those records updated that we're looking at right there?
They are. Updated 10/21.
I see that. 50-30 you are. That's pretty good. 20 games above 500 for you. That's pretty solid. And there I am, 53-27. Still holding strong, baby. Still holding strong.
I was 6-2 until the last two games of the night when the On the Line text box fan base wouldn't let me change. No, I'm just kidding.
I forgot about that one, yeah.
No, USC had every chance in the world to win that game.
Oh, my God, they did. Yes, they did. Can I talk about the Cincinnati Bearcats for a second, who are a legitimate football team and very good? Mr. Sorensen is awesome.
I think we got to take a break. I was getting a phone call.
21 for 30, 284, and four touchdowns, baby. Bearcats, watch out. I'd say they're a dark horse in the Big 12. How about UAB firing their coach and finding a way to get a win over a top 25 Memphis team? Shout out to the Blazers of UAB, huh?
Shout out to the Kennesaw State Owls, who started 0-2, now 4-2 in the CUSA.
Speaking of break, dark horse. We'll take one right now. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. I don't know what we're talking about when we come back. What do we got on here? Oh, talking more storylines and coaches who have been fired. We'll have a few minutes to talk about that before we visit with Ty Richardson of ESPN Arkansas. That's coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Got a couple of minutes before we take our bottom of the hour break. Our buddy Ty Richardson of ESPN Arkansas is going to join us at 3:30. We'll talk to him about the Tigers and the Hogs, and one team's going to get their first SEC win this weekend, so that's exciting. Don't you worry. He's going to be just as excited as we are, and we may or may not get into basketball talk at the end of it. So
we talk about meteor games.
Yeah,
you don't usually wish it on your own team.
Not on your own team, but yeah, the viewership, listenership numbers are not going to be very good for this one. The 11:45 a.m. kick in Fayetteville on Saturday morning. But some crazy storylines going on around college football, other than the results of the weekend. Billy Napier out at Florida. which some people were surprised by, the reports and things coming out last week of he was out regardless if they win or lose were true because yeah, he got fired after a win.
You hear that?
Yeah, crazy how that works. Yeah. Do you like that? Fired after a win? Basically knowing then what that tells you is they made their decision going into that game. They beat Mississippi State. You can make the argument they shouldn't have that Mississippi State blew it, but Florida gets the win, technically. So, but yeah, they fire him after a win. You don't see it often, but it does happen.
You don't see it often, but there's a bye week.
Yeah.
Before Georgia.
Yeah.
So you now give a little bit of time and you don't drag your feet.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty safe to say across the board, as of right now, that's the biggest job opening in the country.
Oh, easily.
And
yeah,
I think
from a standpoint of football and just athletically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Florida's the top three, top five
I'd
athletic
say top
program.
Five. Oh, yeah.
Just athletically, just all the way around.
Yeah.
When it comes to every single sport. Like, if you were talking about AD openings, Florida would be...
Which they are in discussions about also.
Right.
There's a lot of people in Florida that are ready for that administration to be gone.
Yes. But yeah, the 2025 season is now tied after Napier was fired. 2025 season, again, is tied for the most FBS coaches ever fired before the end of October. Right now, you're at 7. Tied with the 2022 season.
7. Hold on. Let me see if I can name them.
Okay.
In FBS.
Yes.
Florida, Penn State, Arkansas, UCLA, Oregon State, Virginia Tech. Oh, there's another one. That's 6 of the 7.
There's one more. Mr. Mullet Man.
Oh, Oklahoma State. I forgot about Mike Gundy being fired. Yeah.
So, yeah, those are the...
How about that?
Those are the 7 coaches that ties the 2022 record of 7 coaches fired before the end of October. So, Auburn, if you want to break a record...
Wow. How about that? And then...
Auburn could be on the good side of a record.
If you stay in the state of Florida for just a second, you have the Gators who fire Billy Napier... But the Seminoles do not fire Mike Norvell after whatever debacle is going on in Tallahassee. Not only do they not fire him, Christian, they come out and give him a little boat of confidence, statement of support for old Mike Norvell.
We love everything that he's doing. We love the direction and the leadership. I saw somebody do the math, and it said that there were discussions outside of Florida State of what the buyout would be to fire the entire coaching staff, and it was like $112 million, which is wild to think because that's just over Kirby Smart's buyout.
Yeah. What is it? Norvell's like 50-something, I think, is what I saw. But funny enough, somebody asked Hugh Freeze about that on Monday and said, you saw Florida State gave him a statement of encouragement. Would you like to have one? He said, yeah, I'd love to have that.
It would mean a lot.
It would mean a lot if John Cohen would come out and say, we support you, Hugh Freeze. You're our guy. Maybe there's a reason they haven't. Let that sink in for a moment. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk with Ty Richardson of ESPN Arkansas about the Tigers and the Hogs. That's coming up next.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. As happy to have this guy on, and just one of the best dudes in the business, and a guy I had a chance to meet years ago at SEC Media Days, and we've become such good friends, and wish we could get together this weekend, just not going to happen, as Auburn heads to Arkansas, the Tigers and the Razorbacks in Fayetteville, and we got our man Ty Richardson of ESPN Arkansas. What's going on, my man? Let's talk about two bad teams today, huh?
Yeah, I'm ready, Jacob. I wish you were here this weekend in Fayetteville. I know Auburn High's got a big one, so hopefully they'll have some success. I don't wish success for the other Auburn team that's got a game this weekend, though.
Well, look, man, something has to break. Somebody has to win. You've got 3-4 Auburn, 0-4 in the SEC, going up against 2-5 Arkansas, 0-3 in the SEC. I mean, one team's going to get their first SEC win this weekend, Ty.
Yeah, and I mean, it's right around a pick'em game, so you know Vegas thinks it's close. I think Arkansas, you look at what they have been offensively, it's comparable to what Auburn's been defensively. It's crazy that the Tigers, who are guided by what many kind of presumed to be one of the better offensive coaches in college football years ago, it was like a shell of what they used to be under Freeze. And I say what they used to be, what his teams have looked like in years past.
Sure.
It's just odd because I thought that was such a great marriage. You know, sometimes you see that like perfect couple on Facebook or Instagram, and then they get a divorce. I think that's what Auburn's heading towards. Hiring Freeze, knew how to beat Saban, good offensive guy, good recruiter. It just has not panned out. I know that Daniels and Arnold going head to head with these first team reps. It has a chance to be Jackson O'Rear day if he ends up playing, or it could be another low scoring affair that Auburn's done. But I don't know how it's going to be low scoring the way that Arkansas defends football. Oh, man.
Well, that's what I want to get into. And, of course, you covering Arkansas on a daily basis. And, my goodness, there's been a lot of changes and a lot of drama in Fayetteville like there has been in Auburn. But some different drama because of a coaching change and a staff that was wiped out. And Petrino has been elevated, at least for now. I mean, this was like the worst kept secret ever, right? That Petrino wanted the head coaching job and now he's got his shot. And we'll talk about in a minute whether that's the direction Arkansas goes full time. But what's been the biggest difference, Ty, with this Arkansas team since Sam Pittman was fired and Petrino took over?
Well, I think offensively they picked it up. In SEC games, they scored 30-plus in every one of them. In Oxford, in Neyland, and against the top 20 scoring defense in A&M, they scored 42 last week. So they've had a lot of offensive success in conference games. But defensively, man, oof. They have 45 to the Aggies. They gave up. I think it was 42 to Ole Miss, and then they gave up 34 to Tennessee. So while the offense has played a little better, the defense, albeit against two top 15 opponents, the number one scoring offense at the time, and Josh Heupel, Joey Aguilar in Tennessee, and then Marcel Reed might be the most improved quarterback, not just in this league, but the country. So it's really hard to gauge defensively when you've gone up against those type of opponents. If you give up 30-plus to this team this weekend, then I mean, you still got the same issues. And I really don't know what's going to happen offensively, defensively. I do expect Arkansas to pull away with the win. And I would say the same thing if Auburn was at home. But I think this home game favors Arkansas, and that's the slightest advantage they need to pull away this one.
When it all went down, right, with Sam Pittman eventually getting relieved of his duties and kind of the staff getting cleared out and things like that, I mean, was it time? Did you feel that that was the right move at the right time to let Sam Pittman go, or were you expecting this to be more towards the end of the season or him survive? I mean, kind of tell us what you were feeling when all that went down.
Jacob, if they had lost close, I felt like that he was going to be retained, even though that there was a bye week, but you got drilled 56-13 on your home field.
Yeah.
Defense gave up. They got obliterated. Offense didn't score in the second half. So it was time. And I'll say this, kind of like I felt about Brian Harsin when we were hanging out in Auburn, Alabama at Jordan-Hare Stadium a few years ago. If Hugh Freeze loses on Saturday, he's not going to be the football coach come Sunday, at least in my opinion. You might have a better gauge on that, being that you're on the ground and boots on the ground there. But I feel like there's a lot of similarities to what Auburn fans experience with Harsin years ago. I don't know if it was that severe there, that hatred, but I feel like we're trending towards that. And the fact that he started 0-4 after the last 0-3 two last seasons, I can't see them keeping him if they lose to Arkansas, who I think a lot of Auburn fans presume to be lesser than them. And I don't blame them. That's probably where they are above Arkansas.
Arkansas currently on a 5-game losing streak. Started 2-0, beating Alabama A&M and Arkansas State. Have since lost to Ole Miss, Memphis, Notre Dame. That game you mentioned was the one Sam Pittman got fired on. But Arkansas's played better in the last two games, right? A 3-point loss on the road to Tennessee, and then a 3-point loss to Texas A&M. I mean, if you can compete with those two teams the way that Auburn's playing right now, Ty, Arkansas has every chance to win this game on Saturday.
Yeah, offensively, they've looked really good against some great defensive teams. I say great. Texas A&M's the only great defensive team Tennessee's okay. Ole Miss is okay defensively. This is, again, another tough one. Auburn's in the camp of Texas A&M. In fact, DJ Durkin's group has been really the only unit that's kept them in games this year. If that offense was any better, they would have won a few more. I mean, and you could say the same about Arkansas's defense, but I'm just excited. Like, what's gonna happen? Is this gonna be the catalyst for Auburn's offense to get going against the defense, or is this finally where Auburn's defense breaks and gives up a lot of points, which they haven't done all season?
And so that's what I'm kind of looking at here, Ty, because that's what I'm worried about is Auburn's defense, which has been so good. And apologies for people who hear any banging going on in the background. Roofing work is being done here at the radio station, and they decided that between 2 and 4 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon was the best time to do it. I am worried, though, about Auburn's defense because it has been so good, and it's just been it's been almost unbeatable, and Auburn has yet to give up more than 23 points in a loss this year. But is this the game they break and give in? For an Arkansas offense that's electric, that's clearly not the problem. So you look on the flip side, and it's Auburn's poor offense against Arkansas's poor defense versus Auburn's good defense and Arkansas's good offense. I mean, what a weird game this could turn into be.
Just turn the TV off when Auburn's offense is on the field against Arkansas's defense because it's unwatchable. But the actual entertainment part is to get DJ Durkin and Petrino, who actually were on the same coaching staff at A&M just a few short years ago. I think that's a fair question to ask. Here's something to hold on to if you're an Auburn fan. The road team in this series has had a lot of success lately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Jacob, I've been obviously to Auburn the last two times to see you and the team, and Arkansas pulled away. And I remember Bo Nix in 2021. That was a good Arkansas team, and they came in and ripped the Razorbacks up. And I think 2 years later, another win for Auburn. I want to say that was Thorne that got the dub that year. So it's just been a weird series these last five or so years where the road team has been winning, and we'll see if that trend holds up on Saturday.
We're talking with our man Ty Richardson of ESPN Arkansas, co-host of The Morning Rush there in Arkansas. And what would this win mean for the Razorbacks, right? What would this mean when you look at the rest of the schedule for Arkansas? Auburn this weekend, home against Mississippi State next weekend, and then the brutal stretch once more at LSU, at Texas, and home for Missouri. I mean, unfortunately for Arkansas, the story's the same way for Auburn. You're running out of games to win, Ty. So what would this game mean if the Razorbacks are able to walk away victorious?
Well, it means that Bobby Petrino's one step closer to becoming the head football coach and not just the interim. That would be a huge part of their season. If you could take that and maybe parlay it to back-to-back against Mississippi State the following weekend, then you have a bye before you travel to Baton Rouge and take on LSU. Sorry, we got banging going on here at the restaurant too, Jacob. So we're both dealing with that. But I think it's a massive game for both coaches. One coach is fighting for his job, the other is fighting to keep it full time. They're going in two different directions. Two different directions. They're kind of both in the same spot.
Sure.
Being undefeated, winless in the SEC. So I think it's a massive game for not just Bobby Petrino, but obviously Auburn fans know it is for Hugh Freeze as well.
Well, let me ask you this. With Petrino taking over and the team playing better in these last two games and a chance to get a win on Saturday or even next week against Mississippi State, I mean, where's the fan base at right now in terms of Petrino being the full-time guy or going outside to get somebody else? I mean, we've seen some big names be relieved of their duties already, Ty. So where's the fan base at right now in terms of who they want to be the next head coach in Fayetteville?
Well, they can talk about who they want, but that doesn't mean the coaches. It's like, you remember in middle school, you liked a girl, she didn't like you back. So Arkansas fans are looking at certain coaches right now. Just because you want someone doesn't mean they want to come to Fayetteville.
Sure.
And if the Auburn job opens up, which I think it's going to, that's a more appealing job than the one in Fayetteville. The Florida job's more appealing. Penn State's more appealing. I mean, you're kind of going down the list. You're trying to ask out the prom queen, and there's a better looking guy and a jock that's or a few of them ahead of you. So it's just it's a really tough situation right now for Hunter Yurecek, their athletics director, and the board of trustees, and the search firm, whatever else they're dealing with when it comes to hiring a coach. And as the season progresses, Jacob, I'm not so sure that Brian Kelly and Shane Beamer and
sure, yeah,
others are out of the woods yet. I mean, there could be other SEC jobs that open up just besides Arkansas and Florida.
So would Petrino just be I don't want to call it the easy decision, the easy move, but it would be, right? I mean, that would be the easiest thing for Arkansas to do is give this guy another chance.
Yeah, I would. And it's a situation where the last time Arkansas was nationally competitive, Bobby Petrino was your head coach. And I'm talking about where you really mattered. When you're going up against LSU in the last regular season game and you're number three and they're number one, mm-hmm. and you got a chance to go to the stinking national championship. Now, we know Alabama won it that year, and Tyrann Mathieu ripped Arkansas up in that second half. But that's the last time you have been a legitimate national championship contender when he was at the helm. And so Arkansas fans have that nostalgia. Do I think that's going to work in 2026 and beyond? I would lean towards no. I hope to be proven wrong. But you kind of alluded to it there, Jacob. That's kind of the easy decision, especially if more jobs continue to open up in Power Four college football, particularly in the Southeastern Conference.
Arkansas looking for their first win in a long time. Again, just 2 wins on the year this season, 2-5 overall, 0-4 in the SEC. Auburn heads to Fayetteville this Saturday morning. Our man Ty Richardson of ESPN Arkansas with us here on the phone lines. And a player on each side of the football. I know the defense hasn't been good, but there's still talent over there. And then the obvious answer may be Taylen Green. I mean, tell us a couple of players that Auburn needs to look out for this weekend for Arkansas.
Omega Blake is a really good player, good quality SEC wide receiver. He's a guy that went over 100 yards against Texas A&M in a touchdown. He's been Taylen's most consistent target. Mike Washington is their outstanding running back that has had, I want to say, 270 yards plus combined the last two games against, again, Tennessee and Texas A&M, which is pretty good. So those two guys, skill position-wise, and maybe Rohan Jones, who's their tight end, that's really, really been a key part of the success offensively. I would say if you want to pick out three skill position dudes, those would be it. And you mentioned Taylen Green. It's always a tall task to go. I actually was in an elevator with Jason Campbell last year. I remember going up and I was like, "What? So, Jason, what do you think of Taylen?" And he spoke praises to him and talked about a few things. And
yeah,
Taylen made a play in that game on like 3rd and 19. He's falling over and just made this incredible throw. So you're going to see some fireworks in this game. Just curious to see if Jackson Arnold and company give you some as well.
Yeah, somebody's going to pick up their first SEC win this weekend. Is it Auburn or is it Arkansas? The Tigers and the Razorbacks, 11:45 a.m. Saturday morning, Central Time there in Fayetteville. Ty, we appreciate it as always, my man. It's great to talk to you. And, hey, while football season may be miserable, basketball season starts in just a couple of weeks, and we're expecting both squads in Fayetteville and in Auburn to have a lot of fun this year, huh?
I might have to come visit you at Neville Arena. I think that game is beginning of January in Auburn. So the road trip might be on the horizon. And you know the other pit stop we're going to have to make that weekend.
Yeah, there's a spot or two we have to hit when you're in town. So we'll make that happen, man. We appreciate you as always. Appreciate your friendship and everything you've done for me, brother. Enjoy this weekend, and maybe somebody will play good. I don't know. I'm not betting on it, I can tell you that.
Oh, man. Jacob, always good catching up with you, man. Talk to you later this week on our show, and just wish you could be in town, but hopefully I'll make it in January or another time for a game upcoming, okay?
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Ty Richardson, ESPN Arkansas, with us here in Auburn on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to our man Ty Richardson, ESPN Arkansas, good buddy of mine. And Christian, I know you've got the chance to get to know him now. And man, he's awesome. One of the best in the business in this this profession that we get to do, man. It's really cool. And one of the benefits of going to SEC Media Days is to get to meet guys like Ty. And so appreciate him joining us. And hopefully you got a little bit more insight on what Arkansas will put on the field this Saturday versus Auburn, and starting tomorrow, we will begin to flip that page towards Arkansas, as we typically do on a Wednesday. We're also going to have two great guests on the show tomorrow, Jordan Hill, of Dogs 247 will join us to give all the latest updates on Georgia football, maybe even preview a little basketball as well. And then our man Mike Rodak of Bama 247 is going to be joining us first time in a while. We'll get caught up on Alabama football, talk about what they're up to, and just the dominance they've been on so far. I mean, since that game against Florida State, God, you know they're looking back on that game and being like, man, how did we lose to that team, right? I mean, how did we lose to that? And you've said it, and I think you nailed it, of probably the best thing that could have ever happened to Kalen DeBoer.
It is the best thing that could happen to the fan base, to Kalen DeBoer, and to the players.
Yeah, so Michael,
that reality check.
Yeah, and it's been legit. So Mike will join us tomorrow. We'll talk some Bama tomorrow, Georgia tomorrow, and then a lot of Auburn and Arkansas on the show tomorrow. But today's been a lot of fun. If you've missed any of it, you could check it out on our station website, ESPNAU.com, and the podcast center. We got a couple of minutes here. NBA opening night tonight. Yeah. Couple of games across the association. Jabari Smith in action tonight with the Houston Rockets. And unfortunately for him, they decided to sign the carbon copy of him, who's a top five player all time, and Mr. Kevin Durant. So, who not only signed with the Rockets, he then went ahead and just got that 2-year extension just to make sure that he wasn't going anywhere. So, KD and the Rockets tonight going up against the defending NBA champs, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, you talk about a mentor. I mean, what better way for somebody that plays a very similar style of game? I think Kevin Durant has more freedom, and at least has had in his career more freedom. You've seen Jabari blocked up by that offense. I mean, how many times we come on here and just free Jabari, man.
Free our man.
Because they force him to just sit in a corner and be that spot-up shooter rather than have the creativity off the dribble. You're now going to see that because, again, of just the mentorship. You've seen so many videos, or at least, I mean, we have, of you see KD in the gym and you see Jabari right there with him learning every single thing. Their starting lineup tonight is 6'7". They have KD starting at the shooting guard. So it's 6'7", 6'11", 6'11", 6'11", 6'11".
Holy smokes.
They have Tari Eason starting at the point guard at 6'7".
That's awesome.
It is that is an all-time starting lineup.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right there.
So, yeah, you got Rockets and Thunder tonight, and then the late game is Warriors and Lakers. That's Steph in the Warriors. That's Luka in the Lakers.
Yeah, it's a LeBron-less Lakers team, but yeah. I think Luka is going to be perfectly fine carrying the load for LeBron until he gets back. We also have news that the World Series is set, thanks to George Springer last night hitting that hero 3-run homer in the home half of the 7th inning.
That game was awesome.
It was incredible. And again, we are ones to tip our cap when they do it, man. Shout out to the guys that were on the call for that, for letting that entire at-bat be just about silence and crowd noise and letting it breathe, letting the momentum, letting just everything work its way. I mean, obviously spoke when the ball left the wall or when it was over the wall, but Springer touched first base. You didn't hear anything until he was in the dugout.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge moment for Springer, who statistically is one of the best home run hitters in the postseason ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And so, big moment for Toronto. You hate to see it for Seattle. They were a game away, a couple of innings away from getting to their first ever World Series. And so, no big dumper in the World Series, but it will be the Toronto Blue Jays. And unfortunately, their time has come. They have to play the Dodgers.
Good work, guys.
Yeah, made it. Nicely done. Hang the banner. You made the World Series, but I don't think you're winning it. Make your prediction now.
Dave Roberts, after winning the NLCS, said, this, let's win the World Series and ruin baseball even more. And it's like, all right, well, at least you know. If I'm giving a prediction, I'll Dodgers in 6.
Yeah, I'll make it Dodgers in 5. Good thing is Toronto, they can score. They have that going for them, but the Dodgers are just too good, man. So there you go. World Series set, NBA opening night. And we'll talk a whole lot more college football coming up tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.